keeping your heart tender. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if people are actually hearing what I'm talking about in Sunday school. And we went out to take family pictures out at the farm. And one of the pictures we took, we had the kids go into the cornfield and walk out, you know, like on Fields of Dreams or whatever. And one of the kids commented about, and I was talking about how to keep the ground soft and tender, to till it good before you plant, and then till it and water it and mulch it while things are growing. It allows the plants to grow better. It allows the weeds to come out easier when you're pulling weeds. One of the kids said, boy, Dad or Grandpa, I don't remember who said it, I think it was one of the kids, said, what, Dad's got this thing so tender. We can't even walk in it or sinking into the dirt. But I guess my heart is tender and workable. And they were going on, they were repeating my message. I guess somebody was listening. Yeah, I thought they were sleeping. It's just Dad talking, whatever. You know, that reminds me when we were kids, we grew up in the country, and it's a good thing because we probably would not have survived if we weren't out in the country. My dad used to say, and people would say, two questions that always came up. First of all, are you Catholic? Because we had a large family. And then the second question, we talked about where we lived. They said, oh, you must live out on a farm. Said, no, not a farm, just out in the country. I said, well, what do you raise on your farm, my dad? Well, I said, oh, we raise kids on our farm. That was just a response we always heard when we were kids. So looks like we're raising kids there. So, all right. Well, today I want to talk to you about those pesky weeds. Aren't weeds a blessing? Aren't they a blessing? I'm going to tell you, sometimes they can be a blessing. And let me mention, first of all, and I've got some things I want to show you today. I thought, you know, I should have probably brought a rag up here with me because I might need something. I think I'm going to take that off before I get too far, too. Jacob, can you go get me a rag? You know where the cleaning rags are in the kitchen? Underneath the sink? Underneath the kitchen sink in there? There's a bucket of rags in there. We'll go have him get one because I might need something here in a little bit. Those pesky weeds. I want to give you some things to look at this evening and some things to look at in the Bible. First of all, you probably know the answer to this. Where did weeds originate from? Where? In the Garden of Eden. We're going to talk about the origin of weeds. In fact, I want you to turn your Bible to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And I think one of the greatest lessons, some of the greatest lessons you can learn in life. And let me just say this. When Jesus gave parables, if you read his parables, you find out that the majority of his parables have to do with farming. And people used to be very familiar with that. Not too long ago in our culture, everybody was very familiar with farming. They're all very familiar with the Bible. And today, neither one of those things are true. And we miss so much by not knowing something. Maybe we don't know how to do it, but at least we ought to understand some things about it that are very helpful and very applicable in our lives spiritually. In Genesis chapter number 3, I want you to see where weeds originated from. In Genesis 3, beginning in verse number 17. And just throw it up here, Jake. Thank you very much for that, little Jakey boy. And unto Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife. Now, there's some great doctrine in this verse, but that's not one of the things there, all right? We won't comment any more on that, but be careful, men, listening to your wife. And hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. We're talking about those pesky weeds. By the way, before sin, there were no such things as weeds. There were no sin as thorns. Those pesky weeds did not exist until sin came into the world. Now, we talked last week briefly about the parable of the seed and sower. And you remember in that parable, weeds are something that choke out life. We won't go there, but it's in Matthew 13 and Mark 4 and Luke chapter number 8, the parable of the seed and sower. And the seed that was fell on thorny ground, the weeds came up, the thorns came up, and it choked the plant, the seed, so it could not produce anything. And by the way, we often think of, and when we're, my wife and I are working out in the yard, we both love to do that. I probably get to do it more than she does. We always talk about the weeds are just like sin. What a great object lesson that is. And reality is, in that parable, weeds are not referred to as sin. But instead, Jesus said this, the weeds are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. That's what chokes out our prosperity. The things that we're, not necessarily the bad things, but the cares, the concerns of this life, of this world, choke out the spiritual fruit that God wants to bring into our life and the deceitfulness of riches. If I could just do this and have more money and take care of this. And so much of our life revolves around money. And then thirdly, and we're going to get into some things here. I need to hurry on to this. I want you to understand this. Not all weeds are the same. Not all weeds are the same. Some weeds are dangerous to even touch. Or you think of immediately of poison ivy. When we were kids, that never bothered me. I used to roll around in it, never bothered me a bit. But then at a certain age, it started bothering whenever I'm outside. I got to take precautions because I'm going to pick up poison ivy whether I'm in it or not. And the one thing that always has bothered me, I still don't like it, are nettles. Anybody like nettles? Especially if you like to be around rivers and streams, there's always all kinds of nettles there. And one that, I got to bring this out here. I got a bucket of fun here. I just went and got these this afternoon. Talking about Adam was the sweat of his brow. I went out just this afternoon so they would stay alive, but they still didn't stay very alive. You know what this is? Those who have allergies ought to know what this is. Ragweed. Oh boy, isn't that beautiful? You know what we called these when we were kids? They're still great. I'm going to knock that off a little bit. These are the best spears you'll ever have. Remember when we played Cowboys and Indians? We made the bow and arrow sticks and the bendable stick. That one's kind of wilted. They don't last too long. You got to pull them and use them right away. But boy, they made great spears with Cowboys and Indians. Now we can't play Cowboys and Indians. Now we got to call it, what, Native Americans and bad white people or something. But they were great, and a lot of you know that as ragweed. By the way, that still doesn't bother me. It's just a nuisance. But they are fun to pull and chuck at things. That's a weed that if you have allergies, chances are, I'm waiting for somebody to start sneezing just because I brought that in here today. You want to sniff it for a while, Todd? You want to play with it? Not all weeds are the same. Now, some of them we used to have fun with, and you don't want to be around anymore. But some are more difficult to get rid of. In our yard out here, the kids are out there playing in the grass, and they like to, I don't know why kids do this. We did the same thing when we were kids, making mud pies. I make a big salad, stir it up in mud and everything else, and then dump it on the yard somewhere. And I said, you want to pull weeds? Pull these things. Creeping Charlie is what most people call them. I call them something else that I can't repeat. But they're all over in our yard, and you can't get rid of these things. And you pull them up, it's just like pulling a string out of nylon. It just keeps coming and keeps coming. I tried to get a long one, but it kept breaking off, and I was tired of trying. But that thing, you pull them, and there's all the way across the yard. So I said, you guys pull those things up. So they had buckets of creeping. There's more out there than they had ever pulled. And I don't know, what do you do to get rid of those things? And most people that they get rid of them, the best thing you can do is spray the yard with Roundup and start from scratch. Because anything you put to kill them is going to kill the grass too. Otherwise, pick it all out, and that's no fun to do at all. But that's just, they're difficult, if not impossible, to get rid of. And then sometimes weeds can be deceitful. I tried to pull one this morning, but I try to keep them out of the yard. But sometimes you see one that's sprawled all over. Sometimes these things are like spread all over 3 feet. And you look at it and say, wow, there's so many weeds in here. I'm not going to pull all those weeds. But you find out where the base is, That's all one plant. Sometimes they get 10 times bigger than this. And you pull it out, it's one silly little plant. But it looks overwhelming. It can be deceitful. I'm having a lot of fun up here. That's cool. We'll get into something else here in a little bit. But they can be deceitful. And you've got to deal with the root. If you just pull that off and leave the root on a couple of days, it's going to be the same thing again. You've got to get all the way down to the root. But not all weeds are the same. Some are more difficult to get rid of. Some are very easy I'm going to say this, and we're going to come back to this in a while, maybe in a couple of weeks. Some are very invasive. I got out of the farm, I call it the back 40. The neighbors don't care where the property line is, and they said, hey, if you want to clean stuff out far as back as you want to, that's fine with me. I grew up in the woods, and I like to study different wild flowers and wild plants. Most of the things growing around here are not native, and most of them are very invasive, and we'll talk about invasive things later, but for example, there's some things like this. I just call them briar bushes. I don't know what the official name is, but these things are nasty. There were so many of them back there that you couldn't walk back there. They were probably taller than Jacob, and you couldn't walk through them. And I've seen patches of these things where deer just run right through them. I don't know how in the world they do it. I can't even go into them, let alone. But I've been tearing these out a little bit every year, and there's still some. Every year there's a few less because I'm going in and tearing them out. But they're hard to identify because there's something else that I want in there. Anybody know what that is? It did have some berries on it. It still has one berry on it. It's a wild black raspberry. And, oh, I like those things. Those are great to eat. But you want to pull these things in the wintertime when they're dormant. And you want to wear a lot of clothes and you do it because those thorns, and when they're dormant, they're really hard to tell apart. You can see here that their stems are a little bit, in the wintertime, they're not that much difference in the color. The thorns are a little bigger in these, but they're a little difficult to pull apart to tell apart. And they're hard to distinguish. But some are very invasive. I'm trying to get rid of those invasive plants, and there's other ones that I've been working on getting rid of a little at a time, and planting some wildflowers in there, some things that used to be native to the land. Most of the grass and things that you see growing around wasn't here until Europeans started coming over here. I was doing that the first year we had stuff out there. I was cleaning stuff out and planting some things out there, I noticed there are some four-wheeler tracks going through the back 40. And I asked Jacob, now this is hilarious. So I said, Jacob, were you driving your four-wheeler back there? I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I was or not. He drives his four-wheeler everywhere. I'm surprised he lived to be 12 years old, the way he drives a four-wheeler, and now the way he drives a vehicle. Oh, my. He said, I may have. I don't know. Then I said, well, Jacob, just let me know when I can show you where to drive, because I'm trying to grow some wild flowers, some wild plants back there. And his response was, why would you grow wild plants? Why would you grow wild flowers? But then he thought about it for a while and said, you know what? This was just before Connor's wedding. His dad went back there with a four-wheeler to get some sticks to make that arch you had in your wedding. I just saw a picture of it from your anniversary. And his dad drove the four-wheeler back there. And I said, Brother Todd, if you're going to drive the four-wheeler back, I know you go back there all the time, but I'm trying to grow some wild flowers back there, and you kind of trampled over some of them. And his response was, why would you grow? The apple don't fall far from the tree, does it? You know, some people just don't appreciate those kind of things, but I still laugh whenever I think about that. I don't think Todd even finished the sentence. I thought, no! Some of them are hard to identify. Some of them are hard to get rid of. Some of them are invasive. And some of them have some advantages. For example, I don't know how many times our grandkids this week picked a dandelion. Oh, I got you a flower. That ain't a flower, it's a weed. But you don't tell them that. Oh, thanks. Now I'm getting bugs up here. This is cool. I feel like I'm outside. And some are even edible. In fact, how many like, I know, we're Americans, we're Baptists, we don't eat green stuff, right? How many like spinach? You read Popeye the Sailor. You know what? Something better than spinach is weed. it's actually better for you and it tastes just like spinach. You can put it in your salad. It's what do they call it? It's, I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. But it's some people call it goose foot. It's lamb's quarter is what it's actually called. And actually, it's pretty good. You can put a salad dressing on it. And I like a salad, but I put so much dressing on it, you can't see what's underneath it. But and meat and everything else on top of it. And some actually have medicinal purposes. You learn what different plants are. You find out that there's great medicine. In the old days, people didn't have doctors. They didn't have medicines. They learned to take care of themselves. I like to read about Lewis and Clark. And Meriwether Lewis was the writer. And William Clark was more of the adventure type, but they were best friends. And they oftentimes got stranded at one time in the story in their journey to the Great West. William Clark was all by himself, which didn't happen very often, but it just so happened he was off scouting on his own. Usually they went in pairs or trios, and he got deathly sick. And it was amazing he even had energy to get up out of his cot, but he somehow got enough strength to mix different herbs together and make a tea and drink it, and it cured him. He knew enough about things that we'd be, if I can't find a pharmacy or doctor, I'm without hope. But there's a lot of truth in the medicine. For example, I talked about poison ivy nettles. There's something that grows right along with the poison ivy and with the nettles. I don't have any out there. If you go along a stream, you'll find it. And it's the weeds are called touch-me-nots. If you get poison ivy on you, I always carry ivory dish soap with me because that works wonders. And we did this with the boys' trip last year. I showed them where that was because there was nettles everywhere we were camping. I said, if you get this stuff on you, and some of them, of course, they rubbed it all over them, rubbed the nettles on them and then rubbed this stuff on them to find out it does work. They're touch-me-nots is what they are. And they grow right with the nettles. You can tell by learning what they are. And there's a remedy for poison ivy. To me, it's easier to carry some dish soap with you to wash off with that. So not all weeds are the same. And let me go into this. And this is where I want to spend the remainder of our time. What do we do with weeds? What do we do with weeds? Now, again, we're making a spiritual application here. Here's a great spiritual application. In fact, I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. What do we do with weeds? Weeds are sin. Weeds are the cares of this world. Weeds are the deceitfulness of riches. What do we do with these things? If we're going to have a successful garden, we're going to have to get rid of the weeds. We're going to have to deal with them. How do we deal with them? 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number... I'm hungry for more of that salad. I'm ready to go over there and feast on some more of that. But 2 Timothy 2, verse number 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. Now, we're talking here about, of course, using the illustration of a household and the vessels or the instruments in that house. And verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, from sin, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How do we deal with sin? How do we deal with weeds? What do we do? How do we get our garden free from weeds? Now, I want to focus on that and give you, I got A, B, C, D, E, F on here that I want to go over and maybe give you some illustrations along the way. First of all, we're going to make sure that we pull the weeds early. They're a whole lot easier to pull if you get them early. And you got the ground tender, you got the ground soft. It's even good to go out after a good rain when the ground's moist and those weeds. And to me, early in the morning is the best time because there's less bugs, there's no sun beating down on you, cooking you, and the ground's softer. They're easy to pull. And the sooner you deal with them when the weed is young and when it's early in the morning, it's easier to deal with them at that time. I was visiting with someone last night, and they started talking about our physical health. And he's somebody that was a little bit overweight, and he just said something about, you know, I just told him about, you know, you get old, you start talking about old people problems. My back hurts, my back, and everything else. And I just told him that, you know, when I was a kid, I was about in fifth grade, I think, my dad had a first heart attack, and he was overweight. And all my life since then, every time he went to the doctor, he'd come home. He was so discouraged because the doctor always said, if you could lose some weight, you'd be a lot. Instead, he was a slave to medicines. He was a slave to doctors. Now, he lived a long life, but he was a slave to medicines and doctors and surgeries his entire life because of being overweight. So I just saw that as a child, determined I'm never going to let myself get overweight. Of course, what I consider overweight is going up a few pounds since then, but because I know from experience it's a whole lot easier to keep it off than to take it off after a time. And that's a lesson I learned from watching my dad. It's a whole lot easier to deal with things before they get big and out of hand. And that's true with everything in our life. Pull them early. Get rid of them early. Deal with it. The sooner you deal with it, the better. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, or the years before the years and the sin, before you get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then secondly, you need to make sure you get the entire root. Get the entire root. And I put in parentheses, as much as possible. Because you will never get all of the root. I've got some here. I don't know if I should have done this or not, but I had some things I wanted to show you about the. This is the one that I'm still wanting to eat some more because it tastes so good. You know, I'm going to sell it afterwards. See how those little tenic? Those little. If you get a piece of that root, guess what that little piece of root's going to do? In a few weeks, it's going to grow. You pull this out and you leave five of those in the ground, you're going to get five plants there. You can never get completely rid of this because that's just like your sin nature. You can pull the weed, but you still got a sin nature you're going to struggle with. But you've got to get as much as possible. You've got to dig as deep as you can to get as much as you possibly can. Yeah, woods. Get the entire root. And the weeding is never done. As long as you're alive, you still have a sin nature. You're still going to struggle with weeds. As long as you have a garden, you're going to have weed problems. As long as you're alive, you're going to have sin problems in your life. It's best to deal with them as soon as they pop up and try to get as much of the root as possible. And then clean the root of dirt. In other words, you don't want to give this weed a chance to grow back. I actually tried to find one. Did somewhere. There's one here. This is a weed that I pulled a while ago. What I mean by... I'll find one here first. See all that dirt on there? If you lay this on the ground, it's going to come back to life. All it needs is a little moisture, it's going to pop back up. This one here, it's hard to see from there. You see how that thing is bent there? That's because it was picked once and laid on the ground and then it rained. And it came back to life and was standing up again. I thought it was done with. I thought I dealt with it. Now, the best thing to do is make sure when you pull them, get all that dirt off, there's less chance of it growing back. And do it when it's not going to rain again. When there's not going to be another sin in your life, another temptation is going to come, and we're still holding on to that. We're still hanging on to that. We didn't clean it completely. We didn't wipe it completely out of our memory. We're still, you know, some people even make a monument to their sins. Well, I remember when God gave me this a victory, and they're always going back to their sin. No, forget that. Shake all the dirt off of it so it doesn't have a chance to come back, because those little tentacles there will stick into the ground and it's going to come back up and pop right back up again. And make sure you shake all the dirt. Here's another one. When you pull them up, they got all that dirt there. And these are wet because I wanted to keep them alive because they were dying as soon as I pulled them. And I shake all that dirt off so it doesn't have a chance to come back up. Clean the root of dirt. Get that sin. Don't set up a memorial. Don't keep going back and visiting. Oh, remember when so-and-so did this? Boy, I still don't like them. For the, you know, at the activity field today with Brother Todd, when he got done with all the boys, and you know, when boys get intense, and that's good. You get intense and you get some aggressive, and I was involved in sports. You know how that is. You do some things at the heat of the moment that, boy, that was a stupid thing to do. And you kind of lose your cool and your composure once in a while, and had to pull aside a couple of youth pastors, a couple of teenagers, and say, you know, we got to keep our tempers down and everything. And afterwards, we got done with all the games, and it was a pretty intense battle with all those teenage boys. And he got a loud speaker. I want to talk to you all you guys about something here. Men leave everything on the field. If you don't leave it on the field, you take it with you, you're going to ruin the rest of the week. We had a great time of competition, and tempers were flaring, and that's good. But leave it on the field. That's what men do. Now, girls hang on to that. Sorry, ladies. Girls will, I remember when you did that 20 years ago. Don't forget it. Shake the dirt off. It's done. It's done. It's not going to have a chance to come back. Well, I thought that was a great lesson. Thank Brother Todd for preaching that to the boys for a little bit. Get the root clean of dirt. And then, once that root is clean of dirt, let the sun kill them. I prefer to pick the weeds early in the morning when it's going to be a hot, dry day. And when you lay it on the ground, have the root facing up. And that sun's going to bake that thing to death where it's not going to come back to life. If it's down on the ground and just kind of get in the habit, when you flip the weed, drop it that way so the root is up. And sitting all day in the sun, that's another advantage of weeding in the morning. There's going to be a hot, dry day. The next day, that thing's gone completely. There's no sign of life in it. There's no chance of it coming back because the sun has baked it. And it exposed the root, exposed the life of that sin to the light of the S-O-N, the sun. Expose your sin to the sun. Keep your eyes on the sun. God's righteousness, not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. And then, what do you do with those weeds? Now, my wife and I go around in this. We never raise our voice. We never argue because I'm always right. But, right? No. But she does this. See? She knows what I'm getting at. What do you do with those weeds when you pull them? Oh, the difference is she likes to flower garden, I like to vegetable garden. Because a flower garden, you always want to look pretty for everybody walking by. And it doesn't look real pretty with those ugly weeds laying there. But I put them with the roots up, they're going to die. And they're actually, and that's the next thing, use them as mulch. They work good as mulch. They bake in the sun for a day. They're dead. They don't look real pretty, but they're a great thing to leave laying on the ground. It's natural-made mulch. It's there. It can. Now, you picture this. Now, of course, we don't want, and the spiritual application makes me look like the right one. So, sometimes when we get victory over sin, we don't want anybody to know about it. We're going to take away all the evidence. Nobody's going to know about my past. Hey, if you get over your past, God's forgiven you. You've got victory over it. You can tell people about it. When you're on the victory side, you can tell people the details. But when you're in the midst of the battle, you don't want people to know the details. But once that weed's dead, it can be prosperous because it's dead. If it's still alive, we're going to have problems. And a lot of folks take that. They don't want anybody to know their past, which is just as bad as glorifying your past and wanting to go back to that past. But the truth is, that old dead weed, and if I take you to the vegetable garden between the rows, you find dead plants that look like, oh, did you put straw mulch down there? No, they're just the weeds that are dead. A lot of folks would take them out, and somebody said burn them, get rid of them. If you let the sun kill them, they're fine. They're not going to come back to life. They come back to life because they get some moisture and the roots are touching the ground. But if they're up to where they're exposed to the sun, exposed to the righteousness of God, God bakes it, God takes it completely away, and now it's something that's good for the garden. Now it's turned into something that God can use. And the same thing's true with our sin. And it's only when we're on the victory side, only when that sin is gone. Of course, there's going to be new ones coming up underneath it. They will be dealt with too, but that mulch actually helps hold the moisture in. It helps the prosperity of the vegetables that you're growing by putting mulch in to hold the moisture into the ground. It's not always pretty, but it works better. So there you are, hon. I'm right. No, it just doesn't look good. And I just thought, you know, that's good mulch if you leave it in there, make sure that it, but it just looks ugly. Well, I guess a flower garden, you don't want it looking ugly. So we buy mulch and put it in there and pull all the weeds out and hide them somewhere. And then this is something that's very important. I've been handling things here. I mentioned something about weeds that are bad for you. Weeds that are, you know, poison ivy, we think of immediately. This is something I've learned the hard way because it didn't used to bother me, but it does now. Make sure you wash the residue off your skin. Anytime I'm in the garden, I may not be within 100 yards of poison ivy. But I've learned this just working in our backyard. I don't know if there's any poison ivy within blocks of our house. But I work in our backyard. If I don't wash with dish soap when I'm done, a couple of days, I'm going to have poison ivy breaking out. When I'm outside, and I've learned to do it in the wintertime too, I learned the hard way a couple of years ago that poison ivy is actually more potent in the wintertime. When you're breaking off the sticks of poison ivy to put up a hunting stand, and I got a bad case of it. I think I was out Tuesday and then Wednesday night in church. My eye was itchy, and by the end of the service, everybody said, "What's wrong with your face?" Oh, well, nothing more than usual, but my eye was getting puffy and red, and by the end of we got home from Sunday night, it was swollen up, and I found out, and it was the dead of winter. Poison ivy's not going to bother you then. Oh, yeah, it does. And I've just learned, and now I do it all year round in my shower. Anytime I'm outside, I've got a little bottle of dish soap because that will break down any grease, which that's the residue from all the poisonous plants, is that grease that gets on your skin. And you've got hours to get it off. At the end of the day, you wash off with dish soap any exposed skin. Anytime I'm outside, any skin that was exposed, I wash immediately and I take a shower. I wash to get all the residue off because you don't want any connection with that. And you say, well, I wasn't around it. But that pollen floats a long ways. That's what the wind does. And it can attach to other plants. You see, there's sometimes guilt by association. There's sometimes, well, I was with a bad crowd, but I wasn't doing anything bad. Be careful, because some things rub off on you more than you realize. And we need to make sure that we wash all the residue off. It's best to stay away from it all now. We got to be out there. If there's outside, I got to be out there. It's kind of like I joke sometimes, if I see water, I got to go in it. If I see a mountain, I'm not happy just driving by. Oh, a pretty mountain. No, I want to climb that mountain. I want to do that. I want to be out there. But make sure you wash it. Make sure when you're in that, you get everything off you later. But what do we do with the weeds? You pull them early. And again, those weeds are sin. Those weeds are the deceitfulness of riches. Those weeds are the cares of this world that overcrowd the things of God. I can't go to church because I've got to do this, and I can't get this done, and we got to do, and all the things that come in and drown us from where we ought to be doing, and can't pray and can't do our Bible reading because we don't have time to do that. We better make time, or we're going to be in trouble. I can't deal with those weeds right now, and boy, you're going to have a mess this time of year, if you don't mow the grass, often our grass gets taken over by weeds. The grass quits growing, but the weeds thrive in the hot, dry weather. But you got to get the entire root. You got to clean the root of dirt so it doesn't come back, and let the root face up and cook in the sun. And then when it's dead, it's safe to use as mulch. It's safe when you get on the victory side. Praise God. That's where I once was. You know, some folks, they get saved and say they get saved from a life of living in the bars. And, well, bless God, I got saved. I need to go back into the bars to witness to all my friends. Don't do that. Don't do that until that root is dead. Until it's faced the sun long enough and lived in God's righteousness, because you're going to get sucked right back into that. There's still some life in those roots, and they're going to attach, and they're going to come right back. In reality, those plants, I don't know if you could see it in that one that I had that I was trying to get. Actually, I pulled one, a longer one, earlier in the week, so it would sit all week, but it didn't work. When you want it to do it, it doesn't work. If you have a long one, and that when you pulled it the first time, the root was that long, and now it's laid on the ground, the root is that long, and it's got stems going down everywhere. It's a whole lot harder to pull this time. Even though you pulled it once and dealt with it once, oh, this is done. It's like one time a parent dealt with a rebellious child and in my presence, and they came back, glad that's done. I'll never have to deal with that again. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes. It's going to come right back. It's called our sin nature. But once it's dead, oh, I used to live on that side. But that desire is gone. God's given complete victory. And now we can use it for a testimony. Now we can use it to reach others. But make sure we wash the residue off, because that poison can get into us without us knowing. You may wash with soap, but if it's not the right kind of soap, it's not going to take it off. If you're not washing in the Word of God, well, I promise I won't ever do that again. Oh, wait a minute. You better take care of it biblically. Confess your sin before God, repent of that sin, and get into the Word of God, or it's going to come back. In fact, when I got that poison ivy the last time I had it bad, when I learned that it's very susceptible in the wintertime, I washed good, but not with the right kind of soap. I came home and washed good again, but not with the right kind of soap. And it didn't get it all off. But I was clean. Nobody would have suspected until I had itches. Couldn't open my eye after a while because it was swollen shut. You've got to get all the residue off. Father, we pray.